Welcome to Empowered, Mind Body Inspiration. The mind is the map to wholeness, wellness, health. The heart is the key to genius and inspiration. Join me and my guests as we explore how to release and rewire into who you truly are, unique, whole, and empowered. Please like, share, and subscribe. Spiral up, spiral out. Hey, Spiral Uppers. Today we have Bridget Murphy, who says she is here to empower people to activate deep inner wisdom, rise above old patterns and beliefs, to unlock their ability to heal and transform their lives. Welcome, Bridget.
Thank you so much, Jane. I'm happy to be here.
Glad to have you. So, Bridget, tell us more about yourself. I know you've created a new program called Path to Power, which is awesome. And you also are a certified shamanic practitioner, which is like really interesting. I love that. So how did your path, your journey start?
Yes. Yeah. The journey started when I was a child. When I was young, I was really drawn to trance and movement and putting myself into altered states. At the time, I didn't know that I was doing that, but indeed that is what I was doing. And so as I grew, I had that as a baseline of experience. And then I started to become aware of spirit and spirituality and my connection to the whole. Not only my connection to the whole, the planet and people on the planet, my responsibility to participate in the unfolding of the planet and its evolution.
Right. And do you think we're in a time that is very exciting and a possibility for change right now?
We are. I believe that we're absolutely in a time for lots of possibilities. Yes, it's exciting. And sometimes it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there's a lot going on right now, isn't there?
Yes.
So you had this innate ability as a child and then developed it further as you got older and were aware of what you wanted to bring to the planet. That's really interesting. So what happened next?
Yeah, so as a teenager, I had multiple experiences that all contributed to where I am now. I had a very memorable, distinct experience at 17 around knowing that I need to make a difference on the planet. And so when that happened, right around that time, I was coming out of a period of adolescent tumult and started to become aware of spiritual practices, spirituality, connecting to the earth, and healing. And so from that point where I was a teenager through my early 20s, I started to immerse myself in spiritual practices. And so I explored earth-based spirituality. I explored energy and healing work practices. And through those explorations, a path was carved for me that has led me to helping people to transform their lives through healing and shifting their consciousness, and now teaching other healers and energy workers how to start to take their work into the world. So the path has progressed over time.
Yeah. Yeah. And do you remember when you were that age, what was the most influential thing that happened?
The most influential thing that happened to me in my early 20s was when I became aware of the power of ceremony and the power of rhythm and music. I started to go to earth-centered gatherings and festivals, and I came upon a fire circle that had a lot of African drumming. And there's something about the energy of the drumming and the fire ignited something, woke something up inside of me that really changed my scope and my lens forever. It really was a huge moment on my spiritual path.
Right. So you've experienced that, the, you know, the drumming and the energy there, and witnessed it transforming yourself. Tell us, does music in general and rhythm and that kind of thing help us elevate our, you know, our energy or our prana, our chi?
It does. Sound and vibration are absolutely catalysts for healing and for moving energy through us. Our cells are responsive to sound and vibration. And so when we hear and experience music, it feels good in our bodies and it feels good to our senses. And it also is changing something inside of us, because the nature of sound outside of us brings something inside of us into balance. And so sound and vibration, whether it's singing bowls, the sound of your voice, the sound of a gong, a frame drum, African drum, a Middle Eastern drum, a flute, different types of music and musical instruments can bring us into different states of mind and also bring us into harmony with different healing aspects of ourselves.
Yeah. And I think often, you know, we forget how important they can be, or we don't realize the power of it.
Yes, because we live in a world that is the Western world, and the modern world is really focused on capitalism and productivity. And we're not really taught to relax, you know, take care of our nervous systems and tune into vibration. We're just not taught to do that in the modern Western world.
Right. And which is key to tapping into inner wisdom, which is what you teach. And so what are some of the main keys that you teach to tap into inner wisdom?
Yeah. Well, one of the main keys is to slow down and to listen. And when I say listen, I'm not necessarily meaning just listening with your ears. There's a way that we can listen with our eyes. We can listen with our heart. We can listen with all of our senses. So listening in a way that we are allowing ourselves to receive any information and transmissions that can come through. So listening with all of our senses, taking time for that, making the space in our everyday life to receive information is the first step.
Right. And when you say allowing it to come through, where do you believe it comes from?
I believe that there's information that comes from our own soul, and also information that comes from some of the other, we could call them soul energies, we could call them wisdom realms, some of the energies that are adjacent and interwoven with us as humans. So there's our inner guidance, there's our soul, and there are sacred forces in the wisdom realms, I guess we could say, that all have information for us.
Right. And I believe too, it allows us to tap into the unified field, which is, you know, where true wisdom and innovation comes from.
Yes. Yes. I believe that truth exists in many places, and depending on our personalities, our spiritual paths, our perhaps religious backgrounds, we receive information and experience it in different ways. And ultimately, it is all connected.
Yeah. So the first one is to slow down and listen.
Yes.
Yes. And yes, yeah, so what else?
Yeah, so slowing down and listening, creating space in our everyday life for that. That's the first piece. And taking our time and being patient is important. within that slowing down and opening space for the listening, we can then, from there, we can then begin to communicate with our soul, with our body, with our ancestors, with the unified field. Once we've slowed down, we can communicate, and a communication is a two-way street. With communication, there's a sort of a lean in and a lean back, an ask, and then a receiving of the answer. And that communication can be through our hearts. It can be verbally. It can be mentally. It can be where we write we write something down and have a communication with soul or our body or whatever it is we want to communicate with.
Yeah. So what are some of the different ways that you've received messages?
Yeah, I receive messages in a few different ways. A lot of times I receive them intuitively, and I simply just have a strong knowing and feel compelled to do whatever it is the knowing is telling me. Another way that I receive information is auditorily. Sometimes I will hear an answer. Sometimes I will hear words that show me what to do next. And another way that I receive information is viscerally. When I'm doing healing work with someone, if I'm sitting near them and or if I have my hands on them, I may feel a ping of energy in a certain area of my body, and that tells me that that's where I need to focus on in their bodies.
Yeah. And these are all practices that we all have. We just need to, like you say, have the patience to, to hone in on the different ways that it works for each individual, right?
Yeah. I believe we all came in with everything that we need to heal ourselves, to help ourselves, to connect to our hearts. It's not always fully activated, and there are a lot of things in this world that will pull us away from accessing what we need. I believe that we have what we need, and when we slow down and allow room for something new to occur, something new occurs, and new information and connection comes through.
Yeah, beautiful. Anything else that you teach people on how to connect or tap in?
Yes. So I have a process that I lead people through, and there's a variety of practices that I incorporate into that process. I teach people how to listen and communicate, and also how to connect with their own form of guidance in whatever way works for them. A lot of times I will use a frame drum, and I work with a frame drum in a way where I play it and it helps folks to move into an altered state so that they can connect in with whatever guidance is waiting for them. If they have whatever guidance is waiting for them, we'll leave it there because that's a whole other conversation. So I teach people how to do that. I also teach folks how to create a space inside and all around them that optimizes their potential for healing and optimizes their potential for receiving information. So I teach people how to work with their own energy, physical and in their physical space, to prime them for healing and communication.
Right. And how do you find the drumming is different or similar to, you know, when you meditate, and meditation also puts you in an altered state of sorts?
Yes. I find the drumming is different because it gives your brain something to focus on. And when the part of your brain that needs to and wants to tend to something is tending to something, it frees up the rest of you to receive information. So it keeps part of your brain busy so that the rest of you can receive information. So that's a way that it's different than a meditation where you're just sitting and breathing.
Right. So in a way, it's a bit more fun.
Yes, in a way, it is a bit more fun.
So do you find these practices help people regain their energy as well?
Yes, absolutely.
And how do you think that happens? Just by balancing and connecting, right? Because we're batteries in a way.
Yes. And there are many people, places, and things every day, past and present, that pull our energy, our focus, and our attention away from us. And we don't even realize it's happening. Some of the practices that I share bring people into their bodies and into their full presence so that they're able to have access to their energy and bring it back from where it might have gone. It really is, I help people to be, and that's why I love your empowered statement and the use of empowered in your work. I help people to be in their power, and being in your power, part of being in your power is knowing where your energy is and being able to track your energy and bring it back when it's gone out too far.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to have that ability is so empowering.
It really, really is.
Yeah. So, and you also teach, I know you talk about healing trauma. Mm-hmm. And how important that is, because that's another way of stealing energy from us, isn't it?
Yes. Traumas of many sorts do take our energy. And sometimes our energy fragments due to trauma, and we don't have access to all of it. And we're not even aware that we don't have access to all of it. And so there are practices that I share with people when I am doing a healing session with them. And there are practices that I share with people when I'm teaching them how to do things on their own. And so through both ways where I'm doing a session for somebody and I'm teaching them, I have ways and techniques to help bring power back so that people can bring their energy back from traumatic experiences that may have taken their energy.
Right. Because often, like I teach too, is that it's on the unconscious. And like you say, we're not even aware of it. But sometimes going into this altered state at least gives you glimpses of what the trauma could be causing the problem. Is that how you do it, hon?
Well, the way that I kind of. The way that I work is that I will move into an altered state through working with the drum, and I consult my guiding spirits, and they help me to see what I can't see as a human. And so I don't need to know all the details or get all the details myself. I can consult with the higher knowing and receive the information that a person needs, information that's pertinent at the time, and I deliver it, and or I act on and do healing techniques in conjunction with the information that was delivered that help a person to be more in their power.
Right. And often when you tell someone what you've seen, does it resonate with them?
Yes. Oftentimes it resonates with them, even if it doesn't resonate with me. And it doesn't need to resonate with me because it's not about me. I am the conduit for energy to move through. And what's important is that the information that comes through helps the person and that they understand it. So I deliver information with that in mind.
Right. And then when you say you help them heal from it, is it moving the energy in their body that has then, because we know that trauma in the mind creates it, the body is like a mirror of it, Yeah. Bruce Lipton teaches that we send out this cascade of chemicals when we're in a stressed state, whether we're aware of the state or not. Yes. And so eventually it's going to affect the body. So yes. you help move that energy in that's now causing trouble in the body, or is it a bit of both, like releasing the trauma, which then helps the body?
It's a bit of both. And it really depends on how a person is walking with their trauma. For some people, they may be carrying a lot of energy in one part of the body. And for some people, it may just be in their heart. And for some folks, the trauma is from this lifetime. And for some folks, they're dealing with ancestral trauma, which mm-hmm. has been filtered or poured through their ancestry. So depending on which trauma we're working on and what we're working on healing, the energy will sit in a different position.
Oh, what do you mean it sits different? You can...
Yeah, so if somebody has a trauma that they've been carrying that isn't theirs personally, it's an ancestral trauma, where I'm shown to shift it or change it is not necessarily in a person's physical body. Although it may be that there are physical symptoms that they're experiencing, the origins of the trauma isn't in their body. So my guidance takes me to the origins and we do healing work there. And then that affects the here and now and it affects the body. But I may not need to go to or through the body to get to the origin of the trauma.
Right. Yeah, this is very interesting and something that many aren't aware of, that we carry we bring forward in birth the trauma from our ancestors. In homeopathy, we call it miasm, you know, mm-hmm. that we have that miasmic energy from that we may be bringing forward, and therefore we see the world with a certain lens, even though it wasn't something that we necessarily went through. But it's important for people to realize this, that, and to heal it is really powerful too, because you're healing, you know, all of that trauma from the past.
Yes. And there's a lot of ancestral healing that is happening all across the globe right now. People who are consciously and actively engaged in their healing and personal development work are right. experiencing it. And folks who aren't necessarily consciously engaged in healing work are also experiencing it.
Right, because it's an important time to heal that. And so much has happened.
Yes. Yeah. There's a global wave that is moving through us.
Yeah. Can you give us an example? Can you remember, or maybe one in yourself that was ancestral? Because I find that would be a really important point to make. And it would be interesting to hear something that you've experienced. Yeah.
I have multiple experiences when I'm doing healing work for other people around generational trauma. Some of those are very, very interesting. For myself, what I find is that with my very own parents, who are both fortunately still here on the planet, the tensions and the stresses and the imbalances, if that's the right word, that we go through and have gone through since I was a child, are continuously worked out. And as we work them out, as I push in a good way, consciously to work some of this stuff out, it is clear to me that what my mother or my father is carrying and bringing into this relationship didn't originate from them. So there are some fears and survival modes and ways of being or reacting that my parents have that do not come from them. And so when their energy is being thrown at me, I am aware that it's not just them. There's an ancestral influence of pain or hurt that we are working on. And so just very recently, I had a discussion with my mom where we were going, she was going into the place of hurt that she has gone to in the past. And I was able to identify what was happening and we could have a conversation on a different level. And I could feel healing was occurring right in that conversation. And I know she could too. And right there where we are healing the not just myself and her, but the past generations, because it ripples healing and energy shifts ripple into the past and also have the opportunity to move forward in the future.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes we react in certain ways and we, you know, we hold guilt or we're, you know, we don't understand why we're reacting in such a way. And that carries an energy that can further disrupt, you know, our health and our well-being. So to realize that it's really not ours, that we're, you know, we can not only see it, but heal it is pretty amazing.
It is pretty amazing. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to have this awareness.
Yeah. Like for people to imagine too, say you had a great, great grandfather that was in World War One and undergo, you know, was in a prison camp and, or had to, you know, shoot other men in order to survive. And then he carried that guilt forward, or three generations back, an alcoholic, you know, grandmother that abused her children, right? And then that's carried forward. Like it's very real that we carry that energy.
It very real. I actually, these are scenarios that I come across in healing work when I help people with shamanic healing techniques. These scenarios present themselves. And they're not conscious, like you said. They are somewhere in the DNA and in the memory somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the effects of that trauma or that situation come through the people. And they don't people don't usually come to me and say, I need my great grandmother's trauma to be healed.
No. Right.
when we do the work, it's often that person, like if it's a scenario where a great great grandmother was an alcoholic and passed down whatever it was, when we do healing work around it and when I'm shown how to make a shift there, it usually resonates with the human I'm working with, whether or not they were conscious that this was a thing in their past or not.
Right. But then they become aware of that's why they react in a certain way, right? And then it dissipates with that awareness.
Often, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So tell us about shamanism. Just what is it and how you use it in your practice too?
Yeah. Shamanism is a way of being that allows a human being to interact with the spirit world. So a traditional lineage shaman, and they come from a particular region in Siberia and Mongolia. They go into deep levels of trance to talk to their spirits and their ancestral spirits to bring back information for wisdom and healing. There's key components to shamanic practice that are found in any shamanic peoples. And the key components are things that we can bring into our lives and that I bring into my life on a regular basis. So creating ceremony, creating a relationship with the invisible helpers, listening and communicating with the natural world, and aiming to restore power and balance. Those are, like, in a nutshell, the important aspects or components of shamanic practice.
Beautiful. And something we haven't talked about is communicating with the natural world, which I find fascinating as a homeopath because we use remedies from nature and they carry an energy that helps heal someone with a similar pattern. And it can be, you know, it can be so deep, physical symptoms, emotional, like it's fascinating. So just tell us about communicating with the natural world a bit.
Well, everything has, well, it's my understanding, and in from an animistic point of view, everything in nature has an essence or an energy, or we could say a spirit, and it's alive. And anything that is alive can be communicated with. And so communicating with the spirits of the trees, the spirits of the water, the energies in nature, when we lean in and communicate, there will be a communication that comes back as long as the communication comes back. In order to hear it, we need to listen and we need to lean back. I guess if we were to get a visual of it, or if I were to explain with a visual, asking a question and leaning in to the trees and then leaning back and listening and receiving the answer. It's pretty simple. And nature is always willing to share with us. Nature doesn't have an ego in that nature's not trying to keep anything from us or hide anything from us or cover anything up. It's happy to share with anybody who will listen.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that a time when you really got an interesting or profound message from nature that you could share that would give us an example?
Yeah, and I think that my experience, some of my strongest experiences have been with the trees and with the birds.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been times when I have, and I probably can't filter it down to just one single time. At least one single time is not coming into my mind right now. Multiple times where I've been sitting with the trees and my awareness kind of merges with the tree, and I receive a transmission, a communication about the way that life is and how life or my life flows. And that happens a lot with the trees. Yeah.
Right? Because they can be such old, wise beings that you can get incredible information from if we would sit and listen.
Yes. And I believe that anyone can learn to listen. It just takes a little bit of practice. Yeah.
Yeah. And birds, I find it interesting too that people that have passed on will often try to communicate through nature as well if you're listening.
Yeah. And that really, as you're saying that, I'm just hearing nature is a conduit. So nature, you know, the trees, the birds, the flowers, the plants, they have their own vibration and information to share. And they're also conduits for information to come through. So it would make sense to me that a bird, which has no ego, has no it's hidden agenda, it's just open to the flow and connected to all that is, it makes sense to me that a bird would be able to bring through a message from a loved one, because the bird has no resistance to its connection with the rest of the beings.
Yeah. So a loved one could ask, can you, sit outside the window of this so-and-so for a period of time, and they would just do it, right?
People will do that. People will ask birds or different animals that they associate with loved ones to show up as a sign. And it happens time and time again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear that a lot.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. So you talk about transformational healing, and what would you consider transformational healing?
Yes, I consider transformational healing when you when you shift your consciousness and transform your awareness and your own personal habits and patterns in a way that healing is the norm. Healing is no longer something you seek out just to fix a problem. You're living in a way where everything is healing. So you've transformed your life to allow healing to happen all the time. Everything is healing. That's how I describe transformational healing.
Oh, how interesting. Because we're never really finished, are we?
No.
You know, like, yeah, it's a journey. I love that.
That's what I've learned, that healing does not mean that we change things in a way that we might want to change them. The practice of healing alleviates suffering. And the alleviation of suffering happens in many ways. One of the ways that it happens is when we shift our relationship, change our relationship to what is causing us pain. For some folks, that, you know, is a big sort of philosophical process. And for some folks, it's a physical process. And everyone is on their own healing journey. For some people, healing the trauma of 1,000 lives is what they're here to do. And for some folks, they have, their kidneys are failing. And healing, or bringing healing to their kidneys, that's what their focus is. And I feel that not one is over or above or below the other. It's all healing.
And so in transformational healing, what you're teaching is that illness isn't necessarily a bad thing. It can be transformational.
And it often is.
Yeah.
It often is. Many people who do healing work have gone through some sort of personal ordeal that has led them to seek out healing, and they become very intimate with the healing process. And that helps them to be conduits, helpers for other people.
Yeah. And to realize that you may have healed this section, but another section may appear, right? That you need
it's
to
true.
Move through.
Yeah. We're never done, Jane. Like you said, we're never done.
No, it seems that way. That's okay. So what would you, just give us maybe one or two tips on how people can become or connect with their own healing abilities?
Sure. One of my tips is to take 5, maybe 10 minutes, depending on your threshold, a day, every day, and sit and put your hands on your body and breathe. That sounds simple. And sometimes it's not so simple to get yourself to do that. That simple repetitive act carves a pathway for all the information that you need to come through. So sitting for 5 or 10 minutes, breathing with your hands on yourself. We can get fancier than that, and that simple practice will illuminate a lot for somebody. So that would be one way I would encourage healing. And another way that I would encourage people is to have communications, have dialogues with their body, dialogues with their ancestors, dialogues with whatever it is they hold sacred. Conversations and communications in that way, saying, "Hey, ancestors, thanks for all that you did so I could be here." That's starting a dialogue. Saying, "Thanks, body, thanks for holding all the energy you're holding. Thank you for helping me get through the day." That's a communication, and that communication opens up the doorway for more healing information to come through.
Yeah.
So those would be my two suggestions that anybody could start right now.
Beautiful. Simple and opening the door, right? That's what you're saying.
Yep.
And then the rest will follow.
It really does.
Love it. Bridget, how do people find you and learn more about what you do?
Yes. I am on the social medias as Bridget Murphy. Or Bridget Murphy Healing. So folks can find me through my website, bridgetmurphy.com, on Instagram or YouTube or TikTok, Bridget Murphy Healing. And if folks are interested in learning even more about activating their inner wisdom, on my website, bridgetmurphy.com/awaken, if you click there, you will receive a free video training. It's a three short video series that gives you further instruction on what I just shared.
Beautiful. And we'll put the links in the show notes so they're easy to find.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It was a wonderful conversation. And for everyone out there, don't forget, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. Spiral up, spiral out.
And remember, don't give away your power to anyone else. Be the creator of your own life. You can find more inspiring episodes on 14 different platforms, including iTunes, Spotify, and empoweredhealth.com. Be a part of Thrive Tribes. Be the change in Thrivevolution at thrivetribehub.com. And join me and my fellow changemakers at Health Tribe, Body, Mind, and Soul on Facebook. Spiral up, spiral out.